Well, praise the Lord. He is worthy of praise. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I thank the Lord that He chose me. And He didn't just choose me for an ordinary Christian walk. That's, you know, just walk in the door. And I don't mean the door of the church, but the door of His life and be satisfied. Because the truth of the matter is, you have to, the only way you'll ever truly embrace all that He wants in your life or His purposes is if you see Him as He is. Amen? Not as He was, but as He is. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's turn to our book, chapter 16. On Wednesday night, we talked about the cross as a principle. We like principles, but the cross must become a place, and as the power, the cross must become the power. And I don't know about you, but I thought many, many times, you know, I like what he wrote here, but the reality is that I love the little part about Stephen, who was full of faith and full of power, and he worked miracles and all that, and yet he stood there, that the power in his life when he died would touch somebody else. Amen? It's a far cry from what we normally hear when we hear about power. So chapter 16, I want to try to get through several of these. I think this is a really, if you don't enjoy it, you know, I'm going to let you know that I do. I really do enjoy this first part here. So in chapter 16, are you there? It says, one who has for many years truly enjoyed looking out from the Father's viewpoint has given wise observation. Watch this. The imperative need of this hour is not so much to challenge new recruits to start on the highway of service for God, though surely that is always needed, but rather to help the multiplied hundreds scattered around the world who have started out, but they, for various reasons, become bewildered, defeated, and sidetracked. That's why I always believe this for my own personal, part of my own personal assignment is from God, is don't go to the Gentiles, nor the way of the Samaritans, but go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Amen? It is not more effort, but more effectiveness that we need. Why do so very few actually allow God to realize His ultimate intention in their lives? That's an awesome question, isn't it? There's multiple answers, not just one. But if I could sum them all up, it always boils down to self. Always. Are you ready? In the coming chapters, we shall hope to uncover some of the reasons why His children are ever coming up short. You know, that's one of the things that I wish we would all get in our lives, what Paul was afraid of, coming up short, wasn't he? We've turned that thing around to we're all going to make it. We are sure there are many who need to learn these distinctions. As we begin to progress along God's highway of realization with our faces turned toward Him, His pleasure, His satisfaction, His honor, and His glory. See, that's interesting, right? It must be for Him, right? If it's not for Him. See, it's like singing this song. We know that intellectually. We know that by teaching the precepts. But the question is, what do we practice? He's trying to get you and I to understand this. Listen, as we progress down this highway toward Him, His pleasure, satisfaction, honor, and glory, We leave multitudes of believers behind. Do you realize that you and I could have the understanding and message of everything God wants and still be left behind? Multitudes left behind. Well, God wouldn't do that. For while many would like to think they are moving on in this way, they cannot move one step forward without embracing the way. Not the work, the way of the cross. Now, can you imagine if I get that concept in my mind that I can't even move forward in what God wants unless I embrace the way of the cross in my life? And by the way, one more explanation. Somebody explain, give me the definition of what the cross is for. It's for what? It's for Him, but what do you do on it? Die. Wait a minute, I'm already dead. I've been baptized. Oh, but Adam's still at that same point, right? The waters of baptism and the work of the cross brought us into that same exact place where now God can, what? Grow us up. Not as an old man, but as a what? New creation. Not as an Adam, but as a Christ. And I know that's a little deep and it would be hard for some to understand, but it's still true. This is the life for which we have been marked out from the very beginning. There is, everybody say this with me, there is no other highway. You know, you need to go read John chapter 10. I'll just read it a little bit here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. If we try some other plan other than God's, that's what we are. God help me. Others of God's children are struggling along, earnestly desiring to embrace the cross, but are confused by the things they meet in life. So listen, can you imagine, all right, if you get past that point in your life where, all right, I'm going to embrace the way of the cross? You know, some won't embrace it, right? We understand that, right? Some just won't embrace the way of the cross. But if he's really talking about you and I, where we've come to this realization, we must embrace it. But what if it confuses us? The cares of this life or the things we meet in life, right? Many have become burdened and oppressed with false issues imposed by the enemy. Now, we'll always say the enemy is Satan. But I grew up in a church where the enemy lived between your ears. Or, like some say, 18 inches down from your mouth. You know what that means, right? It may be 18 inches a long distance, but you got my point. Many have become burdened and oppressed with false issues. I like the fact that he called them false issues. Smoke screens. Imposed by the enemy, watch this, who is determined to make this highway impossible to traverse and other than God intended. I like how he highlighted or bold the word high in the word highway. Because God is after the what? Highway and not any other way. It's the highway of holiness. Anybody, you know, we quote that. Tell me what the word holy means. Anybody? Okay. There is nothing, there is no one. See, This is my point. The word holy means to be separate. Doesn't it? Okay, now you know, you remember. But it means to be separate. Separated. God separates us. Doesn't he? He separated you from your mother's womb. Why? To reveal his son in you. No other reason. But he always gives us options along the way. Doesn't he? This he cannot do, talking about the enemy. No enemy can make you do something, can he? This he cannot do if we understand what is happening to us, for God has made the way so clear that no one needs to stumble or go astray. The way is clear, isn't it? It's so clear, there's no need for us to stumble or go astray. Sources of difficulty. I like this. First, we must learn to recognize the source of difficulty. Let's read that line together. Are you ready? Are you ready? I want you to hear your own words. You're the best preacher to yourself. First, we must what? Learn to the source of. We'll never learn the source if we don't know the real source that we compare with. What's that? A counterfeit. Because we know one thing, the counterfeit will try to look like God, sound like God, act like God, right? Am I right? But will he be God? If it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, talks like a duck, is it always a duck? Not necessarily. Are you with me? First, we must learn to recognize the source of difficulty. Does it come from God, from the enemy, from a result due to natural factors, or from our own deliberate choices? And if we don't, I don't know what he's going to say here. I do, but I want to throw this in. If we don't learn to recognize the source, we'll be confused because of the way of the cross, or in the way of the cross. We'll be confused. We won't know how to respond to what is going on in life. Right? Every step of progress necessitates making finer distinctions between the things that differ. Does anybody understand that statement? Do you understand that? That means the closer we get to God, the more you have to be refined in distinguishing what's going on in your life. What you might have called the enemy before may just be God to get you where he's taking you. And if you cannot tell the difference, you will miss and not embrace the way of the cross. And when I say you, it's plural. It includes me. All right? God. Oh, wait, the further we go, the sharper these distinctions become, or must become. God seems to permit, which means what? Allows, this very thing. Why? In order to keep us close to him, that we may know his mind and intention in every difficulty. Perhaps the most common types of difficulty experienced by the believer falls into four groupings: chastisement, reaping, oppression, and hindrances. A believer should learn these distinctions. Did you hear that, Nate? You need to know the difference. What are they? Chastisement. Reaping. Oppressions. And hindrances. A believer must learn these things. If you don't learn these distinctions, you will miss what God is really doing, saying all these things in your life. Chastisement is an act of the enemy. Is that true? Chastisement is an act of God. I want to say this while I'm right here. This is why when he points out, and we must understand that God wants us to be able to discern, right? Remember my message a few months ago? Discernment. We need discernment. If you can't discern the chastisement of the Lord, I guarantee you, most folks that are being left behind, unfortunately, it's because they're always blaming the enemy. But you notice how they're always blaming the devil and not the enemy between their ears. How do you know that? We're all guilty. Right? It's always somebody else's fault. Chastisement is an act of God. Watch this. Reaping comes in the natural course of events. Oppression and hindrance are from the evil one. Whereas cross-bearing is a way of life. Are you listening to this? I don't want you to miss this part right here. If you don't learn anything or you don't hear me say anything this morning, you may not accept it. You may not agree with it. It doesn't really matter. But if you do not get this next statement, you might as well just go home. And I don't mean just this morning. I mean permanently. You ready? Cross-bearing is a way of life deliberately chosen by the believer who is living unto God. If I don't deliberately choose the cross, that way of life, if I don't deliberately choose it, listen, he'll go on here, but I want to say, we don't choose chastisement, we don't choose these others, but the way of the cross must be deliberately chosen. Am I right? Does anybody know why? Can anybody tell me why? It's real simple. You can't be forced. Look at it from the Father's point of view. Love. That you're willing to die. No matter what the parameters are for me. But if I don't choose it, or if I choose it in a, I wanted to say lackadaisical way, but that's not really the, even though it can have its merits, but if I choose it where it satisfies me, then it's really not a cross at all, is it? I mean, it really isn't. Are you ready? When God in love lays the rod to the back of his children, he does not ask permission. Oh, he wouldn't do that. He's so good. And you just sang the song. He's good all the time. We've not ever got this statement. How many heard this out of the Bible? The goodness of the Lord leads to repentance. But just before that, he's talking about how he's merciful and long-suffering. He bears all of our stupidity. And the only reason he's good is because he wants us to change. We think he's good to satisfy our lusts. No, not at all. He's good to us, so we'll change. Because what he really has, his ultimate intention and purpose for our lives, is not, listen, it's eternal. It's not short term. It's eternal. Watch. Christ dieth when? When? No more. That's eternal. No, I mean, get a hold of that thing. What he's really working in our life is eternal. Most folks, and the reason so many are left behind is because they're working on a short-sighted parameter. When God is after, start, what, begin, begin with the end in mind. Why? Because God's eternal. Listen, there's a common salvation, there's a great salvation, and there's a eternal. Listen, the requirements are different for each one. How can you say that? He loved not his life unto death. When God lays the rod to his children, he does not ask permission. For the believer, this difficulty of chastisement is only voluntary in the sense that he chooses the will of God with the knowledge that disobedience will bring chastisement. Right? When your children are disobedient, what do? You chastise them. Now, the severity of chastisement, I was listening the other day to Uncle Terry and Sherry's mom. The level of chastisement has changed, hasn't it? In the old days, I mean, you get cracked, you get whacked, you do a... Today, we reward. And somehow, that's how the message has got into the church, that the folks think God's going to reward our... You know the worst thing is? The truth of the matter is, God has left us alone to our own devices. And we've created a system that's weak, has no power, is full of doctrines. And no one will hang on a cross. He'll know us by our what? Fruit. Are you with me? Are you with God? Can you hear what God's really saying? I mean, he's bringing us into a tighter dimension of his life that causes more requirements in our lives, that he doesn't just leave us alone to our own devices. And the thing I love about this is, watch this, look around the room. I've been saying this since we came into this building. Look around the room. It's voluntary. It's voluntary. It's voluntary. You have to embrace. You have to choose. While chastisement may for the moment appear to be grievous, there is always the afterward when the father receives a mature son. Hey, when I was growing up, I didn't like spankings. I did not. But I tell you what, I learned a lot of lessons. One lesson was, I don't really remember getting a spanking after 10 years old. Because I figured I'd be smart enough to not get caught. But see, that's the same mindset we have with God. The only problem is he sees everything and he knows everything. I can tell you right now, I have an incident that just came to my mind when I was like a teenager, young teenager, at Grace Emmanuel, and I was thinking, God, I know you can still, you still see, you still know, you still hear, you know. Because everybody has a desire to be mature. And we receive the privileges of sonship. But we only do if we allow the Father to do what? Chastise us. We know this verse, don't we? For whom the Lord loves, he what? Chastises. And he scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastising. I like that word, don't you? Endure means process, doesn't it? God deals with you as a son, for what he is, what is he whom the Father chastises not? And we already know if we went over to this chapter, if you're not a son, you're a what? If you don't allow him to chastise you. The King James is, you know, all the other translations are a little more politically correct. It just says you're not a son, right? You're illegitimate, it uses, but man, that King James. King James says, let me tell you straight, you're a bastard. A word we don't like, it's rough, it's mean, it's harsh. Let me tell you something. If your child was about to put their life in danger, you know, you were outside by the campfire and it was going to run full force and jump into the fire, you'd do what you could to stop them, wouldn't you? The next form of difficulty is reaping that comes as the result of natural laws of cause and effect. There's another thing we've eliminated in the church because we don't think there's natural laws and causes of effect. But there is. Watch. If you've been in the sun too long, it's natural. You're going to get a sunburn or headache. Well, I don't believe that. Really? Why do you put sunscreen on when you go out into the sun? Now, when I was a kid, I never did. I got blisters a few times, got a little older. Now I'm at the point. I mean, I love the sun, but I don't like to lay in it like I used to. Why? Oh, I've had a few things cut off my body that didn't belong there. It's natural causes and effect. We don't believe that in the church. Watch. God sets laws and orders in the creation, didn't he? What one did I just express? Gravity. See, we don't think so, but if you eat a lot of sugar, right, Uncle Terry? Sherry's mom's always telling her, you keep eating sugar, you're going to have a sugar problem. And don't get me wrong, I'm a full-fledged person who believes this. Listen, it isn't the wages of bad eating, but let me tell you, there's causes and effects, aren't there? It's not what goes in, it's what comes out. See, the law of sin and death has been done away with, but it only gets superseded when we really allow the law of the life of the Spirit of Christ Jesus to supersede it in our life. And it will never happen. Listen to me, everybody look up here. It will never happen if you don't embrace the way of the cross. If you don't choose it deliberately. It doesn't matter how much I know. We might be amazed to realize how much ill in a Christian's life is due to retribution for foolish judgments according to natural laws. See, we don't want to talk that way. Nature brings its own chastisement. I've been saying this for a while. Listen, our problem, and we have not understood it, sin, miss the mark, is what really punishes us. We've wanted to blame everything else. You don't believe it? Go out there and stand in the road while a car's going to come. Jump in front of it and see if a natural law doesn't work. Because it's the same mindset when the enemy tempted Jesus in the wilderness. If you be the Son of God, cast yourself down. It says the angels will protect you. That's the way we talk as Christians. We do. Another form of difficulty. See, now he's given us two, right? Reaping and sowing. chastisement from God. You think Job had a choice? Matter of fact, I think the conversation was between God and Satan. Job didn't have a, he was just minding his own business, worshiping God, serving God, doing what he knew the best. Have you considered my servant Job? Oh, you need a New Testament one? Watch this. Hey, Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. We don't get choices in those matters, do we? I wish we did. I don't know about you, but to me, my favorite food is lobster. This is better than lobster. Because like Brother Job, I need thy word more than my necessary food. Because I've come to a realization that, listen, if we do not have the end in mind, we will not live our lives according to what God really wants. We will not. Everything in the momentary will be our distraction to get us off kilter to his ultimate plan. And we will justify everything we do. Father, forgive me. Are you with me? Another form of difficulty experienced by believers who set their faces toward God's will and purpose is oppression or intervention of Satan. Now, we have to be careful when we use the word Satan. I was doing a little study, and listen, I'm going to tell you. The word Satan, the word, it means adversary, and most of the time, the adversary is referred to as a person. In the Bible. Are you with me? He is the hinderer and his methods are legion. Sometimes he uses affliction to beset the mind and the spirit. More often he intrudes upon the sphere of our activity. And remember, how does he do it to really get a hold of the folks that know? He does what? He masquerades himself as a what? Angel of light. And his ministers do work righteousness. That's why it says in the Bible, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because there's another rightness that's a counterfeit that looks just like what's in your mind. Christ was always quick to recognize the source of hindrance, whether it was Peter or the enemy behind Peter. Daniel knew when his work was being hindered and delayed by the enemy. Paul was alert to see the hindrance of Satan. I'll read this in 1 Thessalonians, so just, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it. Are you ready? Here we go. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Wherefore, we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. Now, Daniel said when the angel of the Lord showed up, the angel of the Lord said, hey, we heard your prayers 21 days ago, but the enemy hindered us. We can't preach that today. Why would the enemy hinder us? To get you off track. To go astray. Sidetrack. And then he puts the angel of light out there and says, hey, it's not so bad because you know what? You can always come back. The sad part about that is, in my experience, it's not what you can do. It's usually what people will do. The prodigal son was a story about what God can do. not a loophole for us to do what we want to do. Oh, my baby. I knew when she fell asleep there was going to be... She doesn't like to go back to sleep. Are you with me? Let's not get sidetracked to what God's really trying to tell you and I this morning. Before we make much progress on this highway of realizing God's intention, we shall discover the importance of being occupied with our Lord and yet at the same time be ever watchful and discerning of the enemy's wiles. See, we don't believe that, do we? Can you imagine? Paul wrote these two things. He said the Holy Ghost stopped them in one place, and here in another place, Satan hindered them. Because in the earth, it's both daylight and darkness at the same time. The question is, do we know how to distinguish between the difference? I love the moon, especially when it's full, but it's still nighttime. It's not the same as when the sun is in the sky. And some folks are happy that as long as they can see in the dark, I'm not happy. I can see in the dark, if you get what I'm really saying, but it's not the same as the Son of Righteousness arising with healing or rays, that's the real word, an outpouring of His glory and manifestation. Because eye hasn't seen it, ear hasn't heard it. Because no matter what anybody says, Danielle, there's never been a corporate man to walk in the earth. And there never will be a corporate man walking in the earth until he follows the same path and pattern as the pattern son. Embrace. Jesus didn't need a work of the cross. We did. But we must embrace the same way of the cross as he did. The cross is chosen. All right? However, bearing the cross is something different from all of these. Those other three, you see what they are, right? But this one, we must bear the cross. The cross never comes unsolicited, whereas the rod is always imposed. Some trials come as natural consequences. The enemy is always on hand to hinder without invitation. Did you hear that? I want to read it again. I know she's crying and stuff, but I don't want you to miss this. I really don't want you to miss this. It's important. Watch this. The rod is always imposed. Trials come as natural consequences. And the enemy is always on hand to hinder without invitation. God is ever seeking those who voluntarily embrace the divine way of life, regardless of the cost to self. Did you hear that? That's why when the Lord told Mark Hamby that the back door of your church is wider than the front door, which most folks want that front door filled, but the reality is God wants that back door closed so that every single person will come into the fullness of what He's after. But every single person will not choose the way of God. I'm telling you, son, you must choose the way. Because if you don't, it doesn't matter if you know me or you don't, you will miss what God is after. I am not one of these that believes that you'll get it. I'm concerned for your lives. Because let me tell you, The tighter this thing gets, the harder it gets, because it costs me and you more than I could ever afford. But he is going to get what he wants, regardless of whether I measure up or not. Because the Bible says, some must enter in. And I've read the Bible enough. I've read it enough to know that, Uncle Terry, I've read it enough to know. I know it enough to know. I know how God works, that if I refuse, he'll let me walk away and he'll just fill my place. How do you know? They cast lots to replace Judas. I know. I've been around a long time. I know. I've read enough of the Bible. I know. And the sad part is, I've been around long enough to know most never come back. I weep. I cry. God knows. He hears my prayers and my tears. Are you with me? The cross, God is ever seeking those who voluntarily embrace the divine way of living, regardless of the cost to self. We can sing a song like we did today, but if we don't practice this in our lifestyle, you might as well. You know what Brother Sexton used to say? You know, this is an imprint in my life. Don't sing a song that you won't live, because if you do, you're just lying to God. Oh, thank you. You know what the Lord just said to me? And to yourself. I never heard that before. You're just lying to yourself. I don't like this message. Well, neither do I. Neither do I. But you know what? Flesh never does. It never does. Do you think when Joshua took them, people that refused or whatever, I shouldn't use the word refused, those people that never got circumcised, when he took them over there across the Jordan and he circumcised them, right? Didn't he do that? He circumcised. You think that they just got up and took off and were, no. There were no wars for 3 days. They didn't move. They didn't do anything. I mean, the pain was. Everybody with me? Do you love the Lord? I'm telling you, we must embrace. I am convinced that it is not only possible to know what our cross is, but that each believer should know how to recognize his particular cross. On the way to the cross, our Savior cried, "Take up your cross and follow me." He did not explain what he meant until he himself had passed through death into life beyond the tomb. There it is. Watch this. God doesn't care what family you were born in. He doesn't care about your race. He doesn't care about your gender. He doesn't care about your social class. And you understand what I mean when I say he doesn't care. He doesn't care in the aspect of how it fits into his purpose and plan. He allows those things. Listen, if we're Americans and we're 21st century Americans, let me tell you, we are wealthy, rich people compared to most folks. And somehow we think that God favors us more. God, we're in trouble. Oh, wait, let's get in Christ. Having ascended to the right hand of the Father, he reveals through the Apostle Paul the meaning of his cross and its claims upon all who desire to follow him. I like that fact, don't you? Jesus never explained it until he got into the life of Paul, who became a believer because he killed Stephen, who was full of faith and power, we read the other night, right? He did miracles and wonders. Because what did it say? They laid his stuff at the feet of Saul of Tarsus, didn't it? See, we've wanted to change the world, but we've not wanted to lay down our life. And I don't mean, I mean Stephen laid down his life. Are you with me? Because remember, to be a witness, what did we read the other night? Does anybody remember? Come on, do you remember? A witness, what was the Greek word? Martha, martyr. We wanted to be a witness so we can be a showboater. No, a martyr. Because a true witness is willing to die. Die, son. To be the prophet of the Lord, you're going to have to die. To self, to everything that hinders what God wants to do or work in you and through you. I'm making no bones today. Because listen, Corey, we'll miss what God has for us if we do not walk on His path and choose our own. We've got to get over this sense that God is all-encompassing. He's not. He has a plan. His gate is wide at the beginning. But this thing gets tighter and tighter and tighter as He goes along. If it were not so, what makes a servant greater than his master? Is Jesus our master? Is He our Lord? Did He escape the cross? What makes you and I think we're going to escape it when He told us to pick it up? And do what? Follow Me. Paul never says, take your cross. He proclaims the cross of Christ as having already triumphed. He bids the believer enter into the triumph of the Lord. Paul makes the meaning of cross-bearing clear in 2 Corinthians 4. After describing his own ministry, he explains the reason for the difficulties under which he preaches. Always bearing about in the body the what? The dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in the body. What this means to each individual, perhaps only the Holy Spirit can reveal. Yet it is actually Christ once again pouring out His life in and through us for others. Isn't that what Stephen did? I'm going to tell you what. You guys don't even understand why that baby's crying. It's to distract. Because even if you can follow me along a little bit, if you get distracted just enough, that's all that matters. They say when a deer's on the road, never swerve, right? Because if you swerve, what happens? You could go and have detrimental. You know what our problem is we've swerved sometimes and not had detrimental moments. And so then we start getting a little complacent and we fall in that realm of assumption that we can control everything and handle everything. The call to embrace the divine manner of living, which is the working of death, is a privilege which we deliberately choose. I'll put that in the same category where they said in Revelation, hey, some of you they're going to kill, toss in prison. Father, help us. Forgive us, God. Do you understand when the Bible says, quench not the Spirit? What He's really saying to you and I is, stop hindering the flow of His life in and through you. And I don't mean in what everybody's after. I'm talking about going to the cross. It is never imposed upon us, Corey. God will not force us. He won't force us. I don't mean to be mean, and if my brother's listening, God help him. But I'm going to tell you what, I remember when my cousin left this church and he called me all up and said, "This, we've got to do this, you've got to call her." And it's amazing he found himself in the exact same position. And no amount of words could alter his direction. None. And the reason for that, Mark, if you're hearing me and you're listening, let God work in your heart. Because you chose your own path. See, nobody likes prophets. I'm willing to pay a price. I don't really care. Because he puts us the least. But the prophet points the direction. I won't water it down. I won't sodden the lamb. It's roasted with fire. Because the word of the Lord to me was, your tongue will be like a fire. And it will only affect the ears that can hear it. It won't affect everybody. That's why the Spirit says, he that hath ears to hear. Who do you think you are? Nobody. I'm just an idiot with an opinion that comes from above. But I'll speak his word so that we'll all be brought to his fullness, to his ultimate intention. It is not, watch this. Listen, his divine manner of living, which is the working of death, is a privilege which we deliberately choose. It is never imposed on us. Watch this. It is not, as often assumed, trials, afflictions, incurable diseases, the loss of money, or even the death of a loved one. To say it's one of these, this is my cross, and I must bear it for his sake, is to evidence a basic misunderstanding in the inwrought cross. You know what? Your mama got sick. You know, I had to bear the cross. No. It's not what it means at all. I hear that in our circles. It's apart from that to embrace the cross. He doesn't impose it on us. He doesn't cause all these things so we have to bear them. No. Bearing the cross, are you ready? Is choosing his way. Can I read that again? That was like a lead balloon for most of you. You didn't like it. It was like a spike in the heart. You think I'm kidding you? I'm not kidding you. I am not, you know, listen to me. Seriously, do we want what God wants? Of course the answer is yes. But the proof is in our lifestyle. It's in our everyday decisions. It's in things we say and do. I'm going to read it again. I love it. Choosing the cross is never imposed on us. It's not as often assumed. What is, you know, listen. I know there's a saying, right? What's the saying about the definition of assume? It what? You know, I don't want to even say it. You got it? It's often assumed that trials and afflictions, incurable diseases, the loss of money, or even death of a loved one, to say one of these, this is my cross, I must bear it for his sake, is evidence. It's evidence to a basic misunderstanding of an inwrought cross. Does that make sense to you? We think when we have to go through hardships and heartaches, I'm guilty. But no, that's not what he's talking about at all. The cross that God is, the person that God is hanging on the cross is the new man. It's the new creation man. Well, how do you know that? You tell me, was Jesus a sinner? Or was he the new creation man? He wasn't God, and I know you can get really technical and say, well, in his humanity, he hung Adam on a cross, and I know all that argument too. But the reality is, he went to the cross. Didn't he? The cross can be known. When a close friend asked pointedly, what is your cross? I only had a general idea of the subject as outlined in the discussion thus far. But when he pinpointed the question for me, I received an indelible impression by the Spirit which has marked my life. I like that. Have you ever had those? Indelible impressions that mark your life that no matter what, you can't change. You might pile dirt on it and you might make all kinds of decisions, but deep down inside, it's still there. You may not even live up to it, but it's still there. I'm a firm believer in this. When Paul wrote in Ephesians, he says, listen, I really do believe this, that when they read it, they'll understand it or they'll see it. I believe that people that hear my voice, even if they walk away, that when they read the Bible, they can't help deny what they've read and heard, even if they don't agree with it any longer. Well, how can you say that? The Spirit. Are you with me? I love you. He said, your cross is to fulfill that specific calling for which God has apprehended you. It comes as you live to realize that distinctive ministry for which he has prepared you. The cross is different for everyone. Everybody has a design killing, don't they? I realized immediately what he meant. For years he had faced the most bitter opposition, persecution, and misunderstanding while obediently following what he believed to be God's ultimate intention for his life. It was made clear to me as I observed that brother's life that a child of God who embraces the heavenly way of living can expect the abuse and the misuse of people who attempt to set him at naught. When a believer sets himself to please God at any cost, the most distressing abuse is not by those loosed by the powers of hell. Close friends, relatives, and loved ones will feel duty bound to God to help redirect your ways and to cause you to make or take a more sane approach in life. I told you this a few weeks ago. Listen, Jesus said he was wounded in the house of his friends, didn't he? And those of your household are your greatest foes. No wonder Jesus warned that following him would mean an utter detachment from all possessions, loved ones, and positions. That's why you sing that song this morning. You don't even know why you did. You declared something with your mouth, but what God's really trying to, he's bringing an understanding to that song. But listen, Peter himself came and said, Jesus, didn't we? He said, no, you didn't give up all. I mean, we think in our minds. I think in my mind, I've given him everything, Uncle Terry. But the thing that we hold to is our life. The things we think, the things we do, the things we say, the things we... It's our life. Never understanding, watch this, it's not even our life. Because we'll quote the scripture, we've been bought with a price. We're not our own. Anybody disagree with me? How many people quote that? How many people believe that? How many people live that? I don't even want to know the answer. I'm not going to look. You, as Brother Viner used to say, you take your own temperature and put the thermometer wherever you'd like. See, I couldn't have gotten you to sing that song this morning. Nothing, no one. You didn't even know, did you? But God knew, didn't he? And if you think I'm talking about you personally, good. I've always said that. But the truth of the matter is God's talking to all of us. And not just in this room. I'm not interested in hearing messages that will tickle my ears. I've done that for 35 years. But actually, the truth of the matter is longer than that. I was a little boy. And all they've been is tutors and governors to set me on a course to what God really wants in our lives. I've been saying this for years. The truth of the matter is all the decisions you make today won't mean a thing if you really lay hold of what he's after. Because what you're doing, you won't be doing. It's true. It's true. Going to work, making money, doing whatever, satisfying our flesh will not be that important. It just won't be. Are you with me? No wonder Jesus warned that following him would mean an utter detachment from all possessions. And how many know every one of us will get tested in this area? More than once, more than twice, it's a walk. With the Lord Jesus, who set his face toward Jerusalem. And there's a key right there, isn't it? Set your face toward Jerusalem. Anybody know why Jerusalem? Why did he say, I mean, it's an analogy and it's a principle, but anybody know why? Why Jerusalem? It's the city of our God. It's where the king lives. Right? It's where the king lives. Seek ye first the right, and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Set your face. Think on these things above. I'm telling you, and you're gonna have to forgive me. You know, I know I'm your, you know, family member and all these things, but I'm gonna tell you what, God still made me a pastor or a preacher, whatever you want, if you accept that or not. But here's the bottom line. I'm around you enough. Let me tell you. The mind's not on the things above nearly as much as it is on the things of the earth. It just is not. It's a fact. Well, I don't need to explain it to me. I'm not interested. I'm just being a preacher. You're supposed to make me happy. Not my job. Never has been. You're supposed to be happy because you're in love with the Lord. Never has been because of what the preacher says to you. It's because of your relationship and your lifestyle with God. That's what makes us happy. The joy of the Lord is to do what? What do you need strength for? Embrace the way of the cross. To overcome. With the Lord Jesus, who set his face toward Jerusalem, that he might realize the Father's purpose. There's why most folks don't even know what God wants. We may share the inner joy known to those who endure hardship while pressing toward the mark. When he calls, there is no other course to follow. No other highway, right? But there will be alternatives. God opens doors. He closes doors, doesn't he? Doesn't he? He opens and closes doors. But I guarantee you, he'll close doors as fast as he's open, but he'll always leave doors open to see what choice we'll make. I got a revelation recently about Balaam. When we think of Balaam, right? We think of Balaam, we always talk about reward, right? Because he liked the money. They were going to pay him to curse Israel, right? But the truth of the matter is the real reward he was seeking was self-satisfaction. And it comes in all forms. Remember what he wrote in the book a couple weeks ago or a few services ago? Most seek what? Security and reward. One of the frogs out of Revelation was the spirit of Balaam. Remember? The spirit of reward. Because this is what we do. We reward because we think God's going to reward no matter what we do. Whether it's good or bad. It's funny. I know I'm way out of whack or whatever. But you know, we watched a Santa Claus movie the other night, right? We don't even have the same concept as Santa Claus. And naughty or nice? A lump of coal or a present? We don't. Does anybody, I mean, when I was a kid, you could have got a lump of coal. I don't mean literally, but you get my point. Because that was the message. They had movies. Not anymore. Now we live in the realm of excess, no matter how good or bad you are. Because that's the tree we eat from. You ever give your kid a lump of coal? It's a question. You can answer it, yes or no. Did you ever give? No. No? Did you ever give your kid a lump? I never did either. But I guarantee you we've given them an excess, haven't we? Oh, let me ask a question. Have they ever been bad? Because if we went by the saying, naughty or nice, we've changed the image of an incorruptible God to be like corruptible man. And therefore, watch this. And I'm not trying to be mean. And Uncle Terry, you know this. Do you like where your two children are? Spiritually, their position? That's the lump of coal. It's not worth it, is it? It's not. You know what? I have a title. You want the title for this message? Keeping it real. I'm keeping it real. Wait a minute, I thought the message was about embracing the cross. It is. I say embrace the cross with enthusiasm. Because if you do not, you won't keep it real. You'll become delusional and find alternative paths to satisfy the flesh instead of embracing his way. How do you know that? I've experienced it. I have experience. I know all about it. Wait a minute, so do you. I hear music. Are you with me? He calls, there is no other course to follow. Only the way of the cross is it possible to fulfill divine destiny. Did you hear that? It's the only way to fulfill divine destiny. Hardship and suffering are endured joyfully by those who are being poured out for him. Whenever things get rough and tough, as Americans, we look for an alternate plan, a place of convenience, easy way out. But God does not do that. Are you with me? Acceptance of the way of the cross calls for a word of caution. Be sure of the source of all difficulty. One of God's choice servants makes this exhortation. Blessed are ye, said our Lord, when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you. This is in Matthew, right? You know, Matthew chapter 5, right? Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. But that is not all. There's four little words. They are falsely for my sake. Did you hear me? These words show that the suffering must come voluntarily. that it must be chosen in the larger choice of Christ and His righteousness. If the accusation men cry against me is true, no blessedness follows. Did you hear that? In other words, if you're being accused of something and it is true, that's your issue. But if you're being accused of something that isn't true, that's their issue. That's what God's saying. Listen, when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, right? They made all kinds of false accusations against him, and he actually violated the law. Am I right or wrong? What was the law? You weren't allowed to pray to any other god except for the golden image, right? But he said, I'm not bowing down to it. I'm going to do it anyway. His obedience to God got him what? A date with destiny in the lion's den, right? And as a date with destiny in the lion's den, it didn't matter what they said about him. What mattered was what God was doing for an eternal work. Because watch what he said about Daniel. He said, Daniel, you'll stand in thy lot where? At the end. At the end. Because he was willing to suffer. We delude ourselves when we try to turn our just punishments into a cross and rejoice over that for which we should rather repent. There's a filthy, dirty little word these days. Repent. Does anybody know why we won't repent? Well, there is. Change. There could be multiple answers, but I'm looking for one in particular, and I know that usually goofs you guys up when I... Because usually we don't think we need to repent. We don't think we need to change. We think we're all right. And we end up being Pharisees. I've been saying this for many, 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 many years. There's not one person that would say, I don't need to repent. We'd all say, yeah, I need to repent and I need to change. And because we'd never say, I don't need to change. We right? Am I right? But the truth of the matter is we don't really believe it or we would. I've been saying that for years, haven't I? For years. I really believe that repentance is a lost art. Oh, maybe I should rephrase that. A lost heart. It's for a lost heart. When there's no king in the land, what does every man do? Right? In the sight of their own eyes. And the minute we start doing that, we're not seeking the kingdom because we're not seeking His righteousness. And the church of Laodicea, they thought they were what? Rich, full of goods, and need of nothing. But his description was totally different. And the saddest part is the Seventh-day church or the last church, the word Laodicea has to do with self-righteousness. Look the word up. Study it. If we're reviled for his sake, is totally different than if we're reviled for our own. We delude ourselves For what glory is it if when we are buffeted for our own fault, ye shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently and accept it with God. That's why I tell you, son, all the time. I do. I tell you this all the time. The Bible teaches us more to keep our mouths shut than to set the order or things straight all the time. Because the truth of the matter is God's in control. And what he's really after is his righteousness. Our problem is when we get a little out of kilter with God and we think, but what God's really after is a people. Listen, we are sheep led to the slaughter all the day long. The cross is always in the way of righteousness. We feel the pain of the cross only when we suffer for Christ's sake by our own, what? Willing choice. If I didn't say anything today, I said this. We have life, don't we? And he categorized it into four. But the only one makes the important one. Is are we really willing to embrace the cross according to his choice? See, we don't get this yet. I am what? Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ in me. And if I really believe that, I'm letting him embrace the cross in my life once again to show his death in my body so that his life can also be seen in my body. Our problem is we pick and choose what we think life and death is. And it's always based upon natural. There is a created, invisible realm that is at work. And most folks, and I'm talking about most believers, can't even see it. This isn't always easy, but you're welcome. You're welcome. But if you want what he wants, I didn't pick the song today. Not only did you pick them songs, you talked about how good he is. I'm going to tell you how good he is. He's so good that he's willing to kill you so you can live. Not in your parameters, but in his. Because he's working an eternal work that has nothing to do with November 30th, 1959. November 30th, 2014. Has nothing to do with it in its essence of saying this is the finality. The truth of the matter is this day is like no other, is like every other day, other than the fact that we put a date on it, and we put a time, and we put a stamp on it. Because the truth of the matter is what God is after in our lives is eternal. Eternal. Well, I have to live in this life. You don't think God knows that we don't have to live in this life? The truth of the matter is he said he knows what we need more than we need it, or more than we know it. I don't know about you, but listen, Jim Hall and I were talking just on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, and we were talking about, I can remember the first time that Pastor Chuck and Sister Glidell went to Africa, and they talked about how people, when they would walk an hour and a half, 2 hours just to get to church, And then they wanted to be there 6-7 hours and listen to them preach for 6 or 7 hours. The preachers were getting tired before the people were. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the preachers were getting tired before the people were? Well, they don't have anything else to live for. But that's the truth. We have more plans than you can shake a stick at what we're going to do after church. Well. People, if anybody ever listens to this, they'll think I'm a crazy man. No, I'm not crazy. We underestimate what we've been called for. And the worst part is, we're so familiar with one another, we miss the realm of the Spirit. Let's stand. I only have one desire. And I don't even know how to do that, Corey. That's why I have to walk by faith. Because if I walk by what I see and hear in the natural all the time, I'll be messed up. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. But my one desire is to please Him. I'll stand on His word to please Him. Stand in His life. And I don't know about you, but this is a dangerous thing. The Bible says it's a dangerous thing to fall into what? Hands of God. Right? It's dangerous to my flesh. Am I right? And I'll tell you what. I told you this before. I did this. I remember we did this in 1998, early 99. We prayed, God, the fire of God, come. And let me tell you, it's been a lot of natural troubles along the way. But you know what? I'm still standing here because God put me here, and I've not moved. Because God's got a purpose for eternity, for my individual life and for yours. God's after something that's far bigger than you and I can even imagine. It hasn't even entered into our lives. And my desire is to please Him, and everything that's in the Christ is there to overcome. And that's my desire. My desire. Because I know this. The one word, one line that every believer desires to hear. Well done, thou faithful son. I, in the natural, love it when I hear my parents tell me the thing that they're most proud about me is that I'm a man of God. Not that I work at General Motors. Not that I've made a decent living. The most important thing is that I am a man of God. And that I preach His word. And if they in the natural, how much more from the realm of God's Spirit could there be finding pleasure in what the Father says? Not because He rewards disobedience, or laziness and luxury and all. No, because you went to a cross and embraced it by choice. And that saying in your being says, God, whatever it takes, finish the work. It's a dangerous thing to fall in the hands of God, because you find out your choice is His choice, and that's it. Father, we love You. Father, we praise You. Oh, You're so wonderful, God. Your Word is alive. Your Word is real, and Your Word is true. And Father, Your Word still declares this: He who endures to the end. The end isn't just a place in time, but it's a person, the pattern son, the firstborn among many. Oh, God, You said to eat the book. It's sweet to our mouth, but it becomes bitter to our bellies, to our desire realm, oh God. So this day, Father, Father, I pray this day, every ear that hears and every heart that desires to obey, oh God, let Your Spirit within us well up. Let it come forth, oh God, with a fragrance of the Christ. That God, You may be all in all. We love You, Jesus. We praise You, Jesus. We honor You, Father, with more than just our words. Remo shokrene in emotion rene. Elimondrasu coronde sede moshotrai. Ele mondronte sicatalo mondronde le lasu condrasce. Eno moshandrandere. Hiribu sala cate. Ele mondrande sala. Rondera ekete indara satronde shatara. Ele mondrandere cassondreto sitere. Hear the word of the Lord. Obey the word of the Lord. Father, we praise You. We worship You, God. We give You glory and honor. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Ete boseta aele moshane kesala. Glory to God, glory to God.